means to me. He wants to be my God and my Savior, and He wants to be my shepherd. He wants to be my door. He wants to be my light. He wants to be my resurrection. He wants to be my vine. He wants me to plug into Him. And not only what He wants to be to me, but what He wants to do for me, and can be found in these seven statements. And I like to say it like this: the I am changes who I am, and I need to be changed. Amen. The Bible says we're changed from glory unto glory. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. The I am changes who I am. Let me run through the seven I ams. It's not all of them in the book of John, but the seven I'm preaching on. John 6 and 35, He said, I am the bread of life. And you say amen. John 8 and 12, He said, I am the light of the world. Say amen. John 10 and 9, I am the door. I am, John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. John 11 and 25 says, I am the resurrection. That's next Sunday, the resurrection and the life. John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, John 15 and 1, I am the true vine. Three times tonight, the fourth one. Would you stand with me as we go to John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11? The very same scriptures we read two Sunday nights ago, we are going to read again tonight because they're intertwined. John chapter 10, I am the shepherd. Can you say amen? In fact, if you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. If you enjoy the service this morning, say amen. Praise God. All those people started shouting and dancing. I was like Scarlett O'Hara when she was at the ball and couldn't dance, and she was dancing underneath. I was dancing underneath. Amen. Praise. I love to just cut a shine for Jesus. I love just to run the aisle. Praise God. Just to shout and praise God. Down at Falcon at the old tabernacle before they tore it down, people would get so happy they'd take a hold of those posts and twirl around the post. I've seen it. I'd love to see people shouting and praising the Lord. Amen. And that's what we're going to be doing for all eternity. You know, the song says, I can only imagine. Will I fall at His feet? Will I dance? We're going to do it all. We got a long time up there. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 1. Are we there? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the shepherd of the sheep. Say that with me. He is the... Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leads them. Verse 4, and he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they will know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things to which he spake to them. Verse 7, and then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, out loud, everybody read together. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let your servant decrease, and may, Lord, you increase. And we'll give you praise tonight for the I am that changes who we are in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're in the right place tonight. No other place to be. Amen. Now, one final time. Well, maybe not final, but let's do it right before I start. Good. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise tonight. Amen. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. People say, you don't have to make all that noise to worship God, but when you worship God, you'll make some noise. People say, well, God's not deaf. Well, He's not nervous either, so just... He likes activity. When Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and man, he saw this one twirling and that one shouting and this one saying, so it was active. Amen. I don't know how I got in on that, but that's not part of the sermon tonight. In our text tonight, we have two of the I am statements entwined. And by way of reminder, last time we lifted to you the I am the door statement. And we talked about and we referred back to the Old Testament tabernacle where there was a door at the front before you could go in and offer your sacrifices. And they knew what he was talking about because that door was designed with different intertwinings. And you couldn't just come over the other way. You had to go through the door. And it was a door that spoke of distinction. I am the door. It was a door that spoke of protection. It's not blocked. You could come through that door. And we know that sometimes there's people trying to go through a door and it's blocked or you cannot enter or do not enter. But thank the Lord that there's protection when you come through the door. And it also speaks of decision. Many doors available. You remember the game show? Do you want door number one, door number two, door number three? Well, I'm glad tonight to know that I don't have a new car behind door number one or a new house behind door number two. Listen, Jesus is everything, and I want to go through the door because he is the door. I am the door, the gateway, praise God, unto a life more abundantly. Can you say amen? But when we look at the entire context of this passage, when he talks about I am the door, he's actually referring to a sheepfold, to a sheep pasture that is guarded and gated. And Jesus was referring here specifically in this parable, I am the door to the sheepfold. In other words, if you want to be part of my sheepfold, you got to come through the door. You can't climb over the fence. You got to come through the door. He is the door to the sheepfold. In fact, he was likening us to sheep. Turn around and tell somebody, you are one of his sheep. Tell them that tonight. I don't know that that's very complimentary. I don't know that that's very enhancing when you call somebody a sheep. Now, a lion, yes, or maybe a great powerful being, yes, an angel. But listen, we are his sheep, and every sheep that I've ever seen is always dingy and dirty and messy, and you got to work hard to keep them clean, and they're not very bright, and you know, they kind of follow whatever just suits their fancy. They're not work animals. They're just sheep. But I want you to know, we are his sheep, and we get dirty and contaminated in this world of sin and sorrow and sickness, and I tell you, we're not all that bright, not the smart. Even Einstein and all his brilliance couldn't find his way to the old rugged cross. Oh God, I want you to know tonight, but I may not be very bright in this world, but one thing I know is I heard a shepherd call my name, and I was smart enough to lift up my head and say, I'm going to follow him. Does anybody here tonight, praise God, that you're the sheep? He is your shepherd. Give him a hand of praise tonight. I am the shepherd, and I'm one of his sheep. And here we find the fourth I am statement. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He didn't say, I'm the good shepherd and my sheep give me things to help me. Right? That's what most farmers want from their animals. They want their animals to produce. They're not just keeping up with them because they love them. They've got an aim for that animal, and that is to get some profit or something out of that animal. Not the way with our shepherd. He's not looking to get something from us. He's looking to get something to us. Oh, thank the Lord that he said, I'm the good shepherd, and it's not about you. It's about me, and I'm giving my... In fact, go to John 10 and 14. Just give me a thumbs up when you have it. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Aren't you glad of that? You ever seen those cows with the little tags in their ear? Ooh, that means that cow's got a number, an identity. He's number 6.2367 in the logs. But I want you to know, he didn't put a tag in my ear. He put his name in my forehead. And he, a name that nobody knows. A new name, can I say, written down in glory. I am one of his pasture. And I'm not just a number. I'm not just one of a dozen. He knows me by name. He is the good shepherd. Can you say amen? And every Jew knew the 23rd Psalm. That was the great Davidic Psalm of the Old Testament. And so when Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, he wasn't saying that by happenstance. He was saying it to declare, I am the good shepherd. And he knew what they would think. And he wanted them to think that. Could he dare say the good shepherd? Well, we know the 23rd Psalm. And he was saying, yes, I am the fulfillment of that. Psalm 23. Go to Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the man, I'm about to run out here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will read it out loud with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table. Go ahead and stand before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now I want you to shout this last part, and I want you to kind of look behind you like our pastor does. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let's give him a praise for that tonight. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You may be seated tonight. You know, so many times, and it's sad to say this, but when people think of the 23rd Psalm, what do most people think about? Really? That's right. For some reason, we pertain it, or it's death and funerals. It is the most quoted psalm in all funerals. It is the most quoted psalm of all psalms. But if you read the psalm, the 23rd Psalm, it's not a thing about death. It's all about life. It's all about life. In fact, go to John 10, verses 10 and 11 one more time. Notice here, in fact, we read the scripture, and we've said it, John 10, verses 10 through 11. If you've got it, just give me a thumbs up. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Now notice this, I am come that they might have what? And that they might have it what? Now go to verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. This 23rd Psalm is all about life. I know it speaks of going through the valley of the shadow of death. It never says I was going to die. Yea, though I'm going to die. It said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say, yea, though I die. Oh, I shall live and not die and declare the word of the Lord. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is my portion and my strength forever, because I am part of the sheep, and it's all about life here and life beyond in glory. Somebody give him praise here tonight. The 23rd Psalms is been quoted in nursery school. It's been quoted in Sunday school. It's been quoted by soldiers on the battlefield. It has been quoted at weddings. It is sweet to a little child and yet deep to a scholar. Someone said of the Bible, which can be said of the 23rd Psalm, it's deep enough that the scholars can come and swim without touching bottom, and yet shallow enough that a little child can drink without fear or drowning. That's why one great preacher said that the 23rd Psalm is one of the seven great wonders of the literary world. Now, look at Psalm 23:1 again. Psalm 23:1. And that's where I'm going to kind of go for the rest of this message. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it. I shall not want. Another translation says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is New Living Translation. I have all that I need. The NIV. The Lord is my shepherd. Ooh, I lack nothing. You see, there's three things. Our sovereign. Point number one, our sovereign. The Lord is. Say it with me. The Lord. It didn't say, a Lord is my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. There are not many paths to God, just like I am the door. He is the shepherd. There are not many paths to God. There's only one way to holiness, to heaven, to forgiveness and pardon and peace. There's only one way. It is not in being a good religious person. It's not in charity. It's not in the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. It's not in Allah or Islam. It is not in drugs and alcohol. It is not in other religions. The Lord is the answer for our lives. There is only one God. And notice it says, the Lord is. Oh, the Lord is. There's only one God. Now, it didn't say the Lord was my shepherd. Now, we know He was. He was past, present, and future. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was there for Abraham when he offered up his son and there was a ram caught in the thicket. He was there for Moses at the shores of the briny Red Sea. He was there when Peter was in jail and the angel touched the prison doors and he opened. He was there when Paul said, their angel stood by me this night and said, you'll make it safely to the other side. He was the shepherd when John Wesley was about to be killed by a mob, and he had his assistant with him, and they were preaching, and the mob began to turn against him, and they ran into a house, and they locked the door because the mob, just like the book of Genesis, was pounding on the door. And John Wesley's assistant said, what are we going to do? And John Wesley said, we're going to pray. And they got to praying. And they opened the door and stood out and began to preach even more. And before that day was over, the same mob that was about to kill them as they were leaving town were begging them, please give us more. We want to know more about Jesus. Don't leave. The Lord was. Oh, thank God for the past. He was. He was there for my great-grandma. He was there when this church started in 1962. He was there all the time. Can you look back at your life and say he was the God of yesterday? Can you look back and see where he brought you through, where a check came in the mail, where lights that you thought were going to get cut off now got cut on? Can somebody praise God that he was? Praise God, he will be. He will be to come when it comes my time to die. The Lord will be there. Stephen said, I see Jesus. So what's going to happen when you'll die? Well, the Bible's already told us to be absent from the body is to be. Woo, he's going to be there. As Stephen was dying, I see Jesus standing. Brother, that is nothing to be afraid of. Amen. The Bible says, Jude said, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. And he is the exalted king, the king of kings and the Lord of lords and forever. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote the Lord of the Rings trilogy and The Hobbit and that movie, Return of the King, when Frodo gets on that boat and goes to the undying lands. Oh, my friend, J.R. Tolkien was a Christian and he was trying to convey that we're not really going to die. We're just going to depart to the undying lands and the Lord will be with us. We will be with the Lord forever and forever. We'll be in his pasture in glory and safe from all alarm. If you believe it, say amen tonight. He is, and he was, and he has been. But the psalmist puts it in the present tense. Not that the Lord was, not that the Lord will be, but the Lord is. Some of you are facing some things right now. this moment. He is my help in a time of need. He is my rock in a weary land. He is my protector. He is my provider. He is my physician. One person said it like this. The one that lit the tapper of the sun and put the stars in their place. That's my shepherd. The one who threw a carpet of green grass upon the earth and tacked it down with flowers. That's my shepherd. The one who scooped out the valleys and piled up the hills. That's my shepherd. The one who took the rainbow and wove it into a scarf and threw it about the shoulders of a dying storm. Woo, that's my shepherd. The Lord is, hallelujah, the sovereign Lord. Can you lift your hand to the sovereign, the Lord, the Lord? So not only do we see sovereign, but point number two, let's focus on the shepherd himself. You see, the Lord, that's sovereign. The Lord, that's deity. But then he goes and says, the Lord is my... See, notice here, we go from heaven to earth. We go from deity to humanity. The Lord, the Ancient of Days, the God of glory, is a shepherd. He didn't say an engineer. He didn't say a scientist. He didn't say a philosopher or a teacher or a world-class politician. He said he's a shepherd. Now, if you know, we don't know a lot about, we're not an agricultural economy. We don't, you know, we go to work with suits and ties on, you know, or dressed up in uniforms like I do and different ones. But, you know, shepherds, they're not known for their dress. They're not known to be, I don't mean that they're not clean, but they certainly are, you know, they're in the dirt and they're in the elements and they definitely are down to earth. And that's exactly right. Down to earth. Oh, thank God he's up in glory. But thank the Lord, the shepherd is touching the green grass of my world. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Jesus is both divine and human. Say amen. He is the lion and the lamb. He is both God and man. In fact, the Bible three times in three different places mentions him as shepherd. John 10 and 11, our scripture tonight, he is the good shepherd. Somebody say the good shepherd. Oh, but it gets a little better. Can you go to Hebrews chapter 13, one of the Bible benedictions? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, what? That, oh, he's gone from being good. Now he's the great shepherd. Oh, and then Peter, 1 Peter 5 and 4. And like I said, if you get it up there, just give me a thumbs up. 1 Peter 5 and 4. It says, and when he shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory. Now, there's the good, and there's the great, and there's the chief shepherd. The good shepherd, say amen. The great shepherd, say amen. The chief shepherd, say amen. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He died for me. Thank God that the good shepherd took on the lion of death, took on the bear of the grave, took on the elements of the corruption of this world in the grave. Oh, thank God that good shepherd he died for me. He bled and died. And just like when David said, I wrestled with the lion and I wrestled with the bear, I want you to know my good shepherd, just like David overcame them in the natural, Jesus overcame the lion and the bear. But he got in a tussle and he shed some blood and he had sweat and he thirsted. Friend, it was a real death. As a good, any good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep. And living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. Freed me forever. One day he's coming. Somebody shout amen. I'm about to get excited. He's the good shepherd. And then there's the great shepherd. And this talks about in that benediction that the Lord equip you with everything good, doing his will in Hebrews. The great shepherd. So the good shepherd died for me. And it says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the covenant, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd. So the good shepherd died for me, but the great shepherd rose from the dead for me. And that's a great shepherd. Man, it's one thing to die for me. But if that shepherd had just stayed in that grave, we'd be just like the Muslims. Just like them. Just another religious group. Being on our ideas. Thinking we're better than somebody else. And true Christians, we know we're not better than anybody else because we know God is the greatest. Amen? He died for me. The great shepherd rose for me. I thank God, Peter, the chief shepherd. When the chief shepherd appears, the good shepherd died for me. Say amen. The great shepherd rose for me. Say amen. And the chief shepherd is coming back for me. Amen. He is the shepherd. Why don't you give him a hand of praise? He's our sovereign, the Lord. He's our shepherd, is my shepherd. And then lastly, he's our satisfaction. He said, I shall not want. Not only do I know the Lord, I'm satisfied in the Lord. Amen. Satisfied in knowing the Lord. Now, yes, there's more I want to learn, more I want to grow, and I'm not satisfied at my spiritual depth. I want to be deeper and grow, but I am satisfied in this, that I've met the shepherd. Amen. Not looking for another Savior. Amen. He's forgiven my sin. Oh, he's my satisfaction. I shall not want. In fact, the black preacher was going to a church to speak, and the order of the service in that church, a little girl came up to quote the 23rd Psalm, and she walked up and threw her head back, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and so I don't want nothing. And you know how little children are. And the pastor, who had a guest speaker that morning, looked at his guest speaker and said, I'm sorry, she got that wrong. And the old black minister said, no, pastor, she got it right. The Lord is her shepherd. And since he is, she don't want anything else. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't understand this, but people sometimes will have animals and treat them bad, and won't feed them. Sometimes people take dogs and chain them up, and you look out, and you can see the rib cages of the dog, and the whimpering, and the sad eyes, or maybe other animals, cats, or exotic animals, and sometimes every now and then, you read in a newspaper that somebody's had several animals and mistreating them, killing them. You know, fighting them, and they'll show pictures of these poor little animals with scars on them and shivering and cold. And we look at that person, and how many of you know we get stirred up, don't we? How can somebody treat an animal like that? Because I know y'all, and I know us, we like our animals, and some of y'all's dogs and cats are treated really good. I mean, they are pampered and they are cared for, and they go to the veterinarian, and you got people that before they pay their light bill, they'll get their dog taken care of. Amen. You don't care if it's in the dark as long as the dog's taken care of. Don't look at me like that. We're all country folks here. I know I've been to y'all's houses. I've been a pastor for 20 years. I know how much people love their pets. I do. And the thing is, I'll go visit as a pastor, and the pets, they'll do one of two things. They either love me or hate me. If they hate me, they're going to growl, and they're going to bark. And if they love me, I had one lady. In fact, I went last week to Kinston and visited some people I used to pastor for 5 glorious years. And one lady I would go to, she had a little dog named Lucky. And I'm telling you, when I went there and I sat on her couch, Lucky jumped in my lap. He didn't just jump in my lap. He was licking my face, and he was getting in my hair. I wasn't so lucky. And it'd been all right, except brother and sister so-and-so, who I'll not name, just thought it was the greatest thing. Oh, he's just loving on the pastor. And the pastor's about to backslide. And I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, I know we love our animals and we want to treat them good, you know, but it just breaks our heart. And did you know it's a crime? Cruelty to animals. And if you are cruel to your animal and you don't feed that animal, or and if you don't take care of them, did you know somebody could report it and they could arrest you and they could fine you? And really, in a sense, that's probably not a bad idea, to take a poor, pitiful animal and misuse them and abuse them and hurt them. And my friend, I'm telling you, that's what drugs will do to people. That's what alcohol will do to people. Young lady, that boyfriend will sleep with you, but then when you get pregnant and need him there to raise a child, he's off with another lady. Oh, and you're hurt and bruised. My friend, there's one thing you'll never, ever, never can you accuse the shepherd of, and that's cruelty to animals. Because he anoints my head with oil, and he patches the wounds, and he care, and he leaves the 99, and he'll pick me up and put me on his shoulder. Somebody give him glory. I shall not want. I shall not lack. He will never be cruel to the animals. He cares about us intimately. I remind myself of this sometime, Brother Philip. He knows the number of the hair on my head. I said he knows the number of the... If God cares and knows about how your hair, he cares about everything else. He cares about us intimately. He knows the sheep by name. I already talked about that. He cares about us affectionately. Now, he doesn't just know intimately, like head, whatever, 14,566 hair and oh, so what? No, he not only cares about us intimately, he cares about us affectionately. It moves him. It affects him what affects us. Those of you that have children, if your children are sad, how are you? If your children are glad, how are you? If your children are poor, how are you? Poor too, because you're trying to bail them out. Amen. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Let me tell you, when I pastored down at, down east at the beach, at the coast, I didn't realize this. Every day I went across two or three bridges every day. And, if it were a cloudy day, the water would be gray. And then when it was a sunshiny day, the water would be blue. And then it just hit me. And there, I'm an East Carolina graduate. Right there proves it. But I guess not. I missed it. But the water reflects the sky. Did you know that? And if the sky's blue, the water's blue. If the sky's gray, the water's gray. I'm telling you, whatever affects you affects God Almighty. You say, what do you mean, preacher? The Bible says in Zechariah, I have it on the scripture here, Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, he that toucheth you, look, he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. Brother and sister, it didn't say it touched his arm. It didn't say it even touched his heart. That's sensitive. But I'll tell you, and it does. But it says it touches. Listen, I'm just telling you that I've wore contacts for since 1989. Oh, thank God I can wear contacts. I do not like glasses. I don't like how they feel. I don't like smudge print just gets under my skin. And thank God for contacts. And when I first got a contact, it took me 1 hour to get that contact off the tip of my finger and into that eye. My eye would not let me do it. I would tear up and it would take me an hour until, I'm telling you, give me a contact today and I can pop it in about 2 seconds. Why? Because my eyes are used to it. I'm just telling you folks that when you, God is, it's, your eyes are sensitive. Your eyes see, and they are protected by the eyelid. It's like if somebody were to touch you in your eye, you would know it. Come on. You would feel it. Amen. You would react to it. And he that toucheth you, he that touches me, touches the apple of his eye. He cares about us affectionately. He cares about us intimately and affectionately. He cares about us passionately. I mean, you parents out there, you get passionate about them kids. Now, I can mess with you if I mess with your kid. You ever heard Mama Bear coming out? And don't you think God gets passionate about us? Well, what was the cross? The Bible says he was shown alive after his passion. for 40 days and 40 nights. He cares about us passionately. He went through the nails and the scars. He passionately cares about the sheep. He intimately cares about the sheep. He affectionately cares about the sheep. He personally cares about the sheep. I've already said that he knows you by name. He already knows the number of the hair on your head, but he personally cares about you. Let me just tell you, when the three Hebrew boys got thrown into the fiery furnace, what did the king see? He said, I see four people walking in the fire, and the fourth man looks like the Son of the living God. God himself personally will come into the trials and tests that we face. Have you been at home on a lonely night and nobody there, and you all of a sudden begin to feel the presence of another world, and the Lord personally came in? And when you pray and when you seek him, he personally comes in. When Stephen was dying, Jesus personally showed up at that death. He cares about you intimately. He cares about you affectionately. He cares about you passionately. He cares about you personally. Oh, praise God, he cares about you eternally. I know this world is not my home. If y'all come and get ready, I am just a pilgrim passing through. My treasures are not down here, but laid up somewhere beyond the blue. He's going to lead us to even greener pastures. Oh, I believe in life here. Psalms 23 is all about life. And I believe in life and life more abundantly. But ladies and gentlemen, let's not ever forget that he's beckoning us on every day we get a little closer to our heavenly home. Amen. D.L. Moody was dying. He was a great evangelist. I could tell you stories about D.L. Moody, and he was an American from Chicago. And as he lay on his bed dying, his daughters were weeping and crying, and he roused his strength up and said, quit crying. And they said, the great evangelist said, don't cry. This is my coronation day. Because the great shepherd is calling me over to greener pastures. Oh, my friend, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. Isn't he a good shepherd tonight? Isn't he a great shepherd tonight? Isn't he a chief shepherd tonight? Is he your shepherd tonight? Would you stand with me? I don't know if we have a quote, but I want to read this to you, if they were able to put that on the overhead. But a quote from A.W. Tozer. And it says this: with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, and the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Can I read that one more time? And then I want us to pray. With the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, and the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? We have an awesome, awesome shepherd. And he is leading you, and he is guiding you, and he is with you, and he is in you. And I want you to come tonight, because the grass is green down here at the altar. And he's calling you to come and dine. He's calling you to worship him. Would you step out of your seat and let's bring all our needs to the great shepherd tonight? Maybe you need a physical touch tonight. Maybe your child needs a breakthrough or deliverance. Maybe you've got a situation on your job tonight. He cares about you intimately. Maybe you're dealing with depression like our sister Radford was. But the chief shepherd and the great shepherd is calling you and speaking peace to you. You're part of Green Acres tonight. You're part of his pasture tonight, and we give you the praise, Lord.
I shall not be, moved as like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not. I shall not be.
shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water.
Oh, he's a shepherd tonight.
I shall not
he's
be
a shepherd
moved.
Tonight. Hallelujah.
In his love abiding,
my brother,
I
he's led you through
moved.
Some valleys.
And, in him
and he's bringing you on to the mountain.
I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved.